In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Scripture has two main teachings, the law and the gospel. The law reveals our obligation to God and to our neighbor, what we must do as we live a life on this earth. The gospel reveals God's promises found in Christ, what he has done for us. The law and the gospel are as separate and distinct as East is from the West. The law says, do this. The gospel grants, believe this. In fact, every doctrine falls into one of these two categories, either the law or the gospel. But that does not mean every verse in Scripture is only law or only gospel. Some are restricted, but not all of them. Take the Ten Commandments, for example. Certainly that describes our obligation to God, how we are to live in service to God and to our neighbor, how we are to love one another. It is most clearly the law. But do they not also describe how Christ lived on this earth? How he thought, how he spoke, and how he acted? We even call that the active obedience of Christ. His passive obedience is his suffering and death. His active obedience is him living a perfect life in full compliance with the law of God. Both are the gospel then. Take Jesus' sacrifice on the cross as another example. It is most clearly the gospel. For by it, our Lord has won forgiveness, life, and salvation for us. We did nothing, he did everything for us. And yet that led St. John to conclude, we also ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Our sacrifices of love and service are not the gospel that earn you salvation, but it is in fulfillment of the law of God. To love one another. Now the gospel does not become the law, and the law does not become the gospel. They remain separate and distinct, but they are separated not by verses or chapters. Rather, they are separated by subject. Who is the actor? Who is doing the work? If we are, then it is the law. If Christ is, then it is the gospel. And therein lies the tension in this story of the Good Samaritan. Who is the actor? Who is the one doing the work? Who is this Good Samaritan? Jesus very clearly tells this man, do this and you will live, and you go and do likewise. So it is a legitimate way of understanding this text that the man and then all people are to be like this Good Samaritan. We are to be merciful to our neighbors, kind and hospitable to those who are in need. In fact, anyone that we come into contact with is our neighbor. We cannot pare it down to simply people that we like or that treat us well. But anyone that we come into contact with is our neighbor who may need our love and our mercy. And it may be just as simple as not laying on the horn when they cut us off. Yet fallen man is so obsessed with himself, and we are so obsessed with ourselves, that we easily confuse the law and the gospel like this lawyer did who asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He wants to know the path to heaven, yet he assumes that he must be the actor, he must be the subject, he must do something and can do something to earn a gift from God. While we may not verbally fall into the same line of thinking, our thoughts often do. We assume that we're better than most, that we have done our best, that we're sincere and devout. There has been no malicious intent with our words or in our actions. We just simply make mistakes. We love God, we love our country, we love our neighbor. And so we end up abusing the law of God by answering a question it was never meant to answer. How do I get to heaven? For if one could gain heaven by good works, by being a good person, then the gospel is null and void. The promises of God are nothing, and Christ died for nothing. If you could earn heaven by what you do, then God is a liar. For he promised to Abraham, through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. He did not say some nations or most nations, but he said all nations on earth will be blessed through your offspring, who is Christ. So apart from Christ, no one will be blessed with the gifts of eternal salvation. No one will be justified in God's sight by observing the law. So why then did Christ tell this man, "Do this and you will live"? Because the law was added because of transgression, as St. Paul said. Christ holds the law before this lawyer's eyes to accuse him and to show him how far short he is of attaining heaven, of meeting the standards that God has laid out for him. The law accuses him of falling far short, even as the law accuses us of falling far short. We are not holy as God is holy. We are not merciful as God is merciful. And we certainly have not shown this same type of love and mercy and compassion as the Samaritan did. Maybe for those who are close to us and we love, but what about for that one who has hurt our family physically or emotionally? Are we still willing to give all that we have to help him in need? So you may be the nicest person the world has ever known. It is not enough. You may give all of your wealth to the needy. It is not enough. In fact, the more that you study the law of God, the more you will quickly realize just how miserable, wicked, blind, sad, and selfish your sinful flesh is. And you are not getting closer to heaven by the law day after day. Rather, day after day, you are actually getting further and further away from heaven. Thus, the law of God. So how terrible that many stop here with this story. They are left only with an impossible burden. An impossible burden not of pleasing God, but the impossible burden of being God. Yes, you are to be like this Samaritan, but faith will quickly recognize that you have not lived up to God's standard. The law accuses you. And so you find yourself broken, wounded, bleeding, and dying, lying in a ditch with no help in sight. So what if the actor is Jesus? What if Jesus is the Good Samaritan? For when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave all your sins. He poured the waters of holy baptism on your sinful corpse, and he healed you by his Spirit and his blood. He picked you up, and he took you to where you needed to be, to the inn of his holy church. And he gave his two most precious treasures, his word and his sacraments, so that his ministers might continue to take care of you, until Christ himself returns on that last day for you. So in Christ you find one who has kept the condemning law for you. He is the neighbor to the broken, the weak, the despised, and the sinful. He is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. He alone has earned heaven, and he freely gives heaven to all who believe. So back to that lawyer's question. It really is a confusion of law and gospel. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do deals with the law of God. But how to get to eternal life deals only with the gospel. So why do you have eternal life? Because Jesus was a neighbor to you. And faith clings to him alone, trusts in him alone, and receives all good things from him alone. That does not mean that the law is somehow abolished and you can live however you choose. No, it just simply means the law has no say in your eternal fate. Both still apply to you. Both are good and are gifts from God. But you use both in their proper place. It is easy for us to confuse law and gospel like this lawyer. It is easy for Christianity to mix the two up, as we have seen throughout church history and even in our day. We like to stop with the law because we like to talk about ourselves and what we can do. But it's a damning endeavor. We cannot cut out Christ. In fact, the scriptures must first be about Christ before they are about us. For only in Christ are we saved. Only in Christ can we begin to keep God's commands and walk in his ways. And so blessed are your eyes that believe Jesus is your good Samaritan who has saved you from death. Blessed are your eyes that believe Jesus is a neighbor to you who has rescued you from destruction. For in the gospel you live and you move and you have your being. So go, be merciful to your neighbor. Show love and kindness. But let your heart cling to Christ alone. We must recognize that it is our own pride that gets in the way of distinguishing between law and gospel properly. So let us get away with our pride. Repent of our sins. For the law deals with me and my obligation to God and to my neighbor in this life. It is good, it is useful, but it cannot save you. It's not the law's fault that it cannot save, but it's your fault, for you are the sinner who has broken it. The law simply shows that to be true. The gospel, however, deals with Christ and the forgiveness that he wins and continues to serve you. This alone saves you, justifies you, and makes you an heir of heaven. So thanks be to our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for opening our eyes to these two most precious teachings, the law and the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.